Radhe Radhe. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Hari Prasad Das in 1973. It's interesting, Prabhupada is talking about the difference between seva and utsaha. Seva and utsaha. Utsaha means enthusiasm. And seva means service to Krishna. So we don't know the letter that was written to Prabhupada by Hari Prasad Das, but Prabhupada replied with Guru Prasad. Hari Prasad asked a question and Prabhupada replied by giving him Guru Prasad. Guru Vani. Guru Vani is Prasad. It is mercy. It is grace. It is necessary food for the Shishya. The Prabhupada is an interesting thing. He says, what we actually accomplish by our work is not as important as the eagerness to serve Krishna that is behind our working for Him. So as we often hear and discuss, we have the term in English, it's not what you serve that counts, it's how you serve that counts. I may come to your house and what you serve to me is chapan bhog. That's called what? The articles of food. But how you serve it is, you're full of anger, you're full of envy, you don't even like me. I'm your husband's friend, but you can't stand me. But you're forced to serve me because you're the wife and I'm his business partner. If you had your way, I would never come to your house. But anyway, you had somebody cook all these things because your husband ordered you. So the how you serve will reflect how you feel about that individual, about those individuals. And it applies to Bhagavan and Bhakta Sambandha also. The relationship between Bhagavan and Bhakta is based on feelings. It's bhakti. It's a loving Sambandha, Prem Sambandha. Because Krishna is doing everything anyway. He doesn't so much need our service. He has Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam. Lakshmi Sahasra Satra. He has thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune serving him in Madhurya Bhav, conjugal love, Swakya Ras. So how can we compare? One insignificant jiva. How can we compare with the service of Lakshmi Sahasra, Sahasra Shata? Hundreds and hundreds of Lakshmi Devis are serving his every beck and command at every moment with their bodies, conjugal love, divine erotic Shingar love, with their words, sweet and gentle and kind and poetic and loving, and with their minds, thoughts, affectionate, compassionate, totally absorbs thoughts of dedication and surrender and service. So how can we compare with the Lakshmi Devis, who are simply expansions, sparks of Radharani, Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha? So Krishna is described as Bhava Grahi Janardan. Bhava Grahi Janardan. Bhava Grahi, the essence of Bhav. He is that Janardan, he is that Lord who's worshipped by everyone, all the Janas. And he's looking for Bhav, as everyone is looking. Everyone's looking for Bhav. Who's not looking for love? Bhav means love. Love means priti, pyar. You may have everything, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. You have everything material, but love is not material. Ultimately, love is the energy of the soul. Love is the light force of dedication coming from the soul. So Prabhupada is making a nice point. What we actually accomplish by our work is not as important as the eagerness to serve Krishna that is behind our work. So it's the backing of our seva. Seva is backed by utsaha. All right, I did the seva. All right, I did the pots. I cut the vegetables. I cooked the feast. All right, let me sleep. So that you did seva, so-called seva, you cut the sabjis to prepare the feast for the offer to Krishna and all the guests at the Sunday feast. There's no utsaha, no genuine loving surge of spontaneity, surge of spontaneity arising from the heart, an unending stream of desire to please, serve. It's not like a gas stove. You turn on the gas and cook and turn it off. Gas goes on and off. But the gas of enthusiasm, the flow of enthusiasm is moment to moment. So now I'm enthusiastic, now I'm not. Now I'm enthusiastic. So that sustained enthusiastic flow, that sustained enthusiastic flow is the measure of devotion. It's the measure of bhakti. Externally, whatever you do, you do. By the arrangement of five different factors working together. Time factor, kala, super soul, devas, your own energy and the manipulation of the material elements. These are the five factors that determine success in the endeavor, what you can accomplish. But Krishna wants to see your backing, because those things are out of your hand. Devas are not in your hand, the super soul is not in your hand, time is not in your hand, the bhutas and elements are not in your hand. But you're in your hand, the atma is in your hand. Your heart is in your hands. Your heart is in your hands. So that you can have some minute control over. So Krishna is examining that aspect of the offering. That input. I can see, Hari Prasad Das, that you are very, very eager and enthusiastic to serve Krishna to your best ability. That is your greatest asset. So you want to be a wealthy disciple? I want to be the richest disciple of my guru. I want to be a shishidani or whatever. Danpati. Sampati. Shishya sampati. Sampati shishya. Full of unlimited wealth. And how will you show that wealth? It will be seen if you're very, very eager and enthusiastic to serve guru to your best capacity, or Krishna. That we don't see much. We generally don't see. Prabhupada was such a personality, such an extraordinary, the divine ocean of love, that he was able to elicit that type of enthusiasm from the hearts of his followers. Because the magnet is very big, then it can draw lots of iron filings to its side. Whatever we have in us can be drawn out by a magnetic personality. They say the person is magnetic. He has a magnetic personality. So the magnetism of a eternal associate of the Lord, of the Premi Bhakti, like Srila Prabhupada, is incomparable and unimitable. Or let's say, whatever that word is. It can't be imitated. We are his students and his desirous followers, but Prabhupada was such a powerful magnetic personality that he can draw all the iron filings of our being to the surface. All the aspects of our being were drawn to his side, to his will, to his command, to his wish. So Prabhupada's disciples were able to accomplish inconceivable feats of devotional excellence. Six Grihasthas on a one-way ticket go to England, not knowing anybody in England, to London. And they're Americans at that. And they had the order of Prabhupada, and they were very, very eager and enthusiastic to serve Prabhupada to their best ability. And somehow they met George Harrison and the Beatles, who were the richest, most famous people at the time, in 1969, when they went to England. So I see that you're very, very eager and enthusiastic to serve Krishna to your best ability. That is your greatest asset. As long as you are so much eager to serve Krishna, without any doubt, you will very quickly meet Krishna face to face. Thank you for helping me in this way. So everybody, especially Indians, they always say, oh, can you show me God? I accept it may be God, but can you show me God? I want to have darshan, sakshat darshan. Devi Darshan, Hanuman Darshan, Krishna Darshan, Ram Darshan. So Prabhupada's saying, yes, yeah, this is the key. Sevan Mukhe Jivado Swayameva Svaratyada. Sevan Mukhe Jivada Swayameva Svaratyada. That Seva Mukhi, when we're absorbed in Seva, then Krishna's Swayam Spurti, it happens. We get Spurti, Darshan, vision of Krishna. And Prabhupada is saying that as long as you're very eager, so eagerness, so Utsaha is more important than Seva. This is the conclusion here. The Seva, okay, but it's the backing of the Seva, that intense eagerism, always ready to do this. In fact, when devotees describe other devotees, or new devotees, they often remark about, oh, he's very enthusiastic. Some devotee in our Sangha said, oh, he's very enthusiastic. I told him I could ship the books, but we can only get them 20 kilometers from where his place is. He was saying, no, that's no problem. I can arrange. I'll pick them up. He didn't say, oh, 20 kilometers so far. You know, he was enthusiastic and eager about every aspect. Oh, okay, I'll get the book. Okay, 20 kilometers. I'll borrow a car. I'll go there. I'll pick them up, bring them to my place. It's not like, oh, can't you bring them to my doorstep? You know, it's so difficult, you know. 20 kilometers, I don't have a car. How will I go there and pick up the books? And he did not any of these kind of negativities about it. He said, that's great. And what else? And he was just like, and he's so eager. He just wants to serve. He's really eager to serve. And he's asking, what else can I do? And he's all genuine about it. So this is a very sign of a very advanced soul, actually, that it's not cluttered and encumbered. The soul is not cluttered and encumbered with all kinds of layers of selfishness and hesitation and doubt and just self-absorption. Because to be a servant of God means actually to throw yourself at the feet of God. Throw yourself at the feet of Guru. Guru, I'm yours. And when one is actually chanting, which I've said repeatedly, but when one is actually chanting Nam properly, he gets like rushes. He gets waves of enthusiasm to serve actually overtake his mind and intelligence. Yeah, he just, I want to serve. I want to go to the temple. And you chant japa. I remember when I was living, before I joined, I was living outside the temple, and Sunday would come before the feast. And I say, I have Sunday off from school, and I want to, can I do some service? I really want, just anything, let me have, yeah, okay. And so I was really enthusiastic, and I found that all that enthusiasm coming from the name, because that's what Prabhupada said, that's what the name means. It means engage me in service. So I'd be praying like that, yes, the name means this, Radha Krishna, I'm your servant, and you are to be served. So please engage me in your service. So when you're actually chanting, you become enthusiastic. You actually go to someone, hey, I want to, can you use me, I want to serve. It's like someone's a computer programmer, or they're a desktop designer, or like website makers, and they say, look, I have all this talent, use me. Oh, yeah, okay, I need a guy like you. You know, it's like, how much do you want? Oh, only this much. Okay, that's a good wage also, good, fair price. So that's what happens to the jiva when we become alive in the holy name. The Seva propensity awakens. Until that awakens, we're dead, living dead, night of the living dead. Our chanting is actually dead. It's just removing, it's like before you live in a house, you have to, you buy a used house, and the guy just died or something, and the estate was sold by the bank. He's got all this junky, crusty furniture and stuff. So before you move into the house, you have to take all that junk out of it. Then you have to paint it and maybe refloor it and redo it to your standard or liking. And then finally you move in after some time. Then you do your work of living in that house and enjoying the facility. Now the house of bhakti, our house of bhakti is full of old sofas and televisions that don't work. Stereos with cracked speakers and cobwebs and bad floors and wallpaper peeling off the walls. So we chat, but all our chanting is doing is fixing, is taking out the trash from that old apartment and repainting the walls. And finally, when that's all done, then we can begin the actual activity of that apartment, which is living there and socializing or whatever, fraternizing with friends and whatever. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, our chanting is, until this point comes when the seva propensity, enthusiasm and eagerness for seva awakens, we're just busy cleaning a dirty house. that's what's known as the Bhakta program. The Bhakta program, what they're looking for in the Bhakta program, they have these programs in temple called Bhakta program. It's called the training, apprentice program or training period, where one trains in Krishna consciousness, he practices following the four principles. In the old days, we would live in the temples. Follow the four principles, rise early, go to Mangalarti, do seva. But what was being examined there was the genuine awakening of enthusiasm and eagerness to serve Krishna. Not like who was most intelligent or who had the most degrees or who was a good speaker or a clever person or a good manager of people, a good boss figure. That wasn't what was the measurement. That wasn't regarded or looked at as a measurement of someone that was actually qualified to be recommended to Srila Prabhupada for initiation. But the qualification was that you were very, very eager to serve. Because that was the indication of that the purification was working, that you're actually properly applying the sadhana and following the limbs of sadhana bhakti and getting the result. So generally a devotee would be initiated after 6 months or 1 year in a temple. But this is, we can see how wealthy we are here. Prabhupada said this is our greatest asset. It's that we're very, very eager. Not always eager to serve Krishna. Is he very eager? No, he's eager. Is he eager? No. Oh. Well, is he very eager? No, no. Is he very, very eager? No, no, no. The Prabhupada is saying to you, I can see that you are very, very eager and enthusiastic to serve Krishna to your best capacity. That is your greatest asset. Because of that utsaha and eagerness to serve Krishna, without any doubt, you will very quickly meet Krishna face to face. So Prabhupada's divine instructions are eternal solace for the hankering soul. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Sajjan Toshini about para upakara. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami where he's exalting the birth in India, and with it comes a responsibility, individual responsibility and collective responsibility, at least in the viewpoint of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, and this is the viewpoint of the Lord which he is carrying forward in his teachings, because the book is called Chaitanya Charitamrita. The nectarine teachings and life, the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that verse he's telling, Bharata Bhumate Hoila Manasa Janma Jara Janma Sartak Kari Parakara Upakara. So Janma Sartak Sartak means that the real benefit and wealth of human life, Bharata Bhumate Hoila Manasa Janma Jara, if we have been born as a manush janam, if we have taken birth as a human being in India, there's so many dogs and pigs and monkeys, so this mandate is not on their heads, and it's not on the heads of others born in Mlechadesh or Yavanadesh, but it's certainly a mandate on the head of those Varshis, and this is an interesting day to discuss this point by coincidence, because this is known as January 26, 2009, commonly known as Republic Day. So this is all part and parcel of India's independence also. They made their constitution or something on this day, is that what it is? First you become independent, then you make a constitution, right? So we also have a constitutional position. So whether you're Bharatiya Vasi or whether you're England Vasi or any kind of Vasi, we have a constitutional position. So this is the day of India's constitution. It was ratified 1950? Let out of jail, and it took him 3 years to figure out which way to walk. And then he got out of jail and said, which way do we go? I don't know. I was used to being in jail for so long. I've been in jail for the last 1,500 years. I forgot how to walk. Right? Muslims had us in jail, the British had us in jail. We're in jail for 1,000 years or something. So when you get out of jail, it takes you 3 years to figure out how to walk. So after 3 years, they figured out, oh, we're a republic. And this is our constitution. But they missed the point, because the actual constitutional position of the jiva is to be Krishna's eternal servant. So if we have that privilege of manasarjanam in Bharat Bhumate, then we should make our life successful. Sartak. All value, all wealth, all meaning in life. The meaning of life is to realize God, to love God. Mukti prapti, prem prapti. Dharmart kam moksh. This is the meaning. This is the sartak, janma sartak. Become perfect in God consciousness, become self-realized, and then parakara upakara. Parakara, para upakara. Para upakara means welfare work, beneficiary work, to help others. Learn, then teach. Learn medicine, then learn to be a doctor, then be a doctor. First you gather, then you distribute. First you collect, then you distribute. You can't distribute unless you collect. Can you distribute food if you have none? Can you distribute money if you have none? Can you distribute knowledge if you have none? So birth in India means collect. You've already collected so much purva sanskaras and punya karma, punya sukriti, to take Indian birth, bharata bhumate, manasa janma. So that's a collection from our parivara, from our gotra, from the rishis. We've collected so much in our genes, in our birth. So now we have a responsibility. Position breeds responsibility. Big position means big responsibility. If you have the position of the PM, then you have a lot of responsibility to lead an entire country of 1 billion people. So to have a position as a PM means big responsibility. So we have a position as the Prime Minister of all living entities. The Prime Minister of the 8,400,000 species of life is Manusha Janam, human form of life. This is the prime position, the crown of creation, as it says in the Bible. Man is made in the image of God. Man is made in the image of God. Manush Janam, God is also Nara, Narahari. He is also a man. He is also human-like. So we should realize God ourselves and then do that compassionate work, welfare work of distributing God to others. And we've collected so much, now we have to distribute. And now we collect more by realizing God and distributing God consciousness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this article, he's describing about that. He's saying there's three types of mercy, three types of para upakara, welfare work. There are three types of daya, mercy. One form of mercy is showing mercy to this gross body, is also one type of doing good. It's known as sat karma or punya karma. That means showing mercy to this body means showing mercy to other people's bodies. Punya, like distributing food, anadan, that's a type of punya, jaldan, pyal, this is showing mercy to other people, to thirsty bodies, giving them water, showing mercy to hungry bodies, giving them khichdi, plates of khichdi or puri and sanji, halava. To feed the hungry, to make arrangements for medical treatment of patients, free clinics, to give water to thirsty persons, to give warm clothing to someone suffering from cold. These are mercy, types of mercy or daya. Pertaining to the gross material body. So now that's mercy to the body. That's one type of mercy. Another type of mercy is mercy to the mind. Mind mercy. So mind mercy means shastra dan, giving books to give knowledge. Shastra dan, vidyalaya, to establish a Sanskrit vidyalaya, or to establish an Ayurvedic school. To open schools and colleges and make arrangements for free education. That is showing mercy to the mind. Like in some countries they have free education. England they have free education. Even higher education is free. That is showing mercy to the mind. But the topmost activity of mercy is showing mercy to the soul. So those who are engaged in preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to others and speaking about the science of devotional service, they are doing the topmost humanitarian work for others, whereby such recipients of this mercy will be freed from material suffering and develop complete Krishna consciousness. By developing pure devotion, they will be freed from material bondage and go back home, back to Godhead, never to return again to this material world to suffer. Those Vaishnavas who have dedicated their life to preaching the science of Krishna consciousness are doing the best type of good. This is the three types of mercy. Mercy to the body, mind, and soul. Before we join, we are being preached to by Dhanavir Das Goswami, who was a Grihastha actually at that time in LA. And he said, what is this medical school internship? So much concern with the body. When the body gets old, diseased, you remove one disease, another disease comes. But can you stop the disease of death and rebirth? This is also a disease. This is also a type of suffering, major class suffering. And it goes on and on, never ends. Endless cycle of samsara. So all your education, all your efforts, all your good intentions, all your heartfelt feelings of compassion, bhavas to help the people, to help the poor, to do good to others, to benefit others, it will all end up for naught, because you'll do so much for them and so lose your sleep. So many nights you'll lose your sleep caring for your patients, and they'll be buzzing you on your pager here and there and everywhere. Then they'll die and take another birth. So then what is the value? Better you work for us. Join us, join our army of welfare workers. You want to do welfare work, you want to help people, then help them permanently. Permanent solution. Eternal benefit. Imperishable results. Akshay phal. Akshay phal. Give them imperishable results. Results that will never perish. They will never perish with the body, because you'll be treating the soul. Soul doctor. Soul brother. You can treat the soul. You can be the soul doctor. Do heart surgery and mind and psychiatric care for diseased hearts and crazy minds. Diseased hearts full of lust and greed and mad minds possessed by consumerism and other various modern anomalies. Various types of insanity. So they were preaching like this, and it made sense. You want to really help people, and why don't you help them in such a way that they'll be eternally grateful, and eternally situated in a place where they'll never die, a place where they'll never get old. You can help people in a place where they'll never get disease. They'll never get a disease. They'll never get old. You want to give them a healthy body. You want to go into medicine to give people a healthy body, because no one likes disease. It's suffering. It's misery. So you want to remove the suffering, remove the disease. You want to give. Doctor means a health giver. Doctor means a happy giver. He wants to give happiness to people. Wants to remove suffering and give happiness. Remove pain and give pleasure. At least that's their meaning of pleasure. Removal of pain means pleasure. I have pain, I'm hungry, now I ate. Ah, chaka chaka, ah, ramse. Ah, now I feel good. I ate a big meal, I feel very good, very happy. I feel so happy I want to sleep. Tightly and warmly and nice, lots of blankets and rasais. Let's go deep into the deepest ocean of forgetfulness. Warm and cuddly, and then I'll just have such a nice, wonderful night's sleep, and I'll enjoy like anything. Then I'll wake up and then I'll bathe and I'll be all fresh and enthusiastic to do what? To eat again. Then I have to think what to eat, and that whole meditation is another source of grand pleasure. Meditate on what I'm going to prepare to alter the stomach. The altar of my stomach will now get another offering. So then I meditate half the morning. So this is how we pass our life. And then it all ends up with Janma Mritu Jayavyadi Dukkha Doshana Darshanam. So they were preaching that this is the real welfare work too. Give people a spiritual body. You're trying to make the body happy, but it will fall apart, break down, and die. And you'll get another one. And that will fall apart, break down, and die. And you'll get another one. And that will fall apart, break down, and die. And you'll get another one. An endless cycle of samsara. So why not give people a spiritual body? Eternal body. Divya Kalevaram. Transcendental Swarup Siddhi. It's possible. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. You want, we're distributors of happiness. Vishwam Purnam Sukhayate. Vishwam Purnam Sukhayate. Let the whole universe be happy. So this is real welfare work. Want to be a doctor? Be a soul doctor. Then you can do permanent welfare work. Parakara Upakara. Save yourself. First, physician, heal thyself. This is some Greek adage. Physician, heal thyself. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. Hypocrite means you say one thing and do another thing, or you're preaching, but you're not following. So, physician, heal thyself means we become Krishna conscious, and then we try to help others become Krishna conscious. The first doctor, everyone has to be a doctor. So, everyone has to begin the doctor work by healing themselves. Kam, krodh, lo, mo, mada, matsarya. These are diseases of the soul. That's internal, those are the internal diseases. But then those are the mental diseases, but there's also physical, also something called skin disease. Prabhupada talked about skin disease. The whole world is suffering from skin disease. Because your skin, you have Hindu skin, I have Muslim skin. This is all skin disease. So physician, heal thyself. Cure the skin disease, which is the physical disease, then cure the heart disease, which is kama krodha, the internal disease. So first we become a physician of ourselves by taking fully Krishna consciousness, and then we act in a parakara upakara, the greatest welfare work, by trying to cure the disease of others. Other people are suffering from skin disease and heart disease. These are the major diseases of this world, skin disease and heart disease. So everyone become a doctor, everyone become a healer. Heal thyself and heal others. So this is a message of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sajjana Toshini. Parakara, upakara. There's three types of mercy. Showing mercy to the physical gross body, showing mercy to the material mind, and the topmost form of mercy is showing mercy to the soul by spreading Krishna consciousness. This is the greatest welfare work for humanity at large. Shriyatam prithvipala. Shriyatam prithvipala yataishorto anugiyate sada sucheta sahate narasye halpacheta saha. A wise man should always be tolerant of an ignorant person. Yad yad bruyad alpamatis tat tat asya sahit sada prakrito hi prashamsan va nindan va kim karishyati vane kaka hi vad buddhir vashamano nirartakam. One should always tolerate whatever a foolish person says. After all, what is the value of praise or blame when uttered by a vulgar fool? Such a person is simply cawing like a crow in the forest. Well, Prabhupada was, of course, asked the same question. His whole movement was based on the principle of whatever you collected, distribute it. Materially, if you collect something, if you work today and collect 500 rupees and you give that away, then you'll be flat. You'll be broke, you'll have no money in the evening time. You work all day, the boss gives you 500 rupees, you come home, your mother says, you worked today? Yes. You brought some money for food? Oh no, I met a beggar on the street, I gave him 500 rupees. Acha, what about me? I'm also begging. I'm your mother. We have no food in the house. So that's material things. But Om Purnam Purnamadam Param Purnamadashite. That what 1 plus 1 equals 1, 1 minus 1 equals 1. Because the absolute one can never be divided. The absolute one is Krishna. Krishna is the absolute. So if you take Krishna from Krishna, you still have Krishna. He cannot be divided. He cannot be cut into pieces. He's always complete. So we've collected some Krishna consciousness, some realizations, some conviction, some understanding of Krishna bhakti. Then we've collected 5 rupees worth, let's say, for analogy. And we go and distribute that. We can only distribute to that extent, 5 rupees. So we distribute 5 rupees, but it's Krishna, it's Purnam. It's Purna Bhagavan. So we distribute 1, and we still have 1. But an interesting phenomenon, because Krishna is pleased by this, then he gives us 1 more. So we distribute 5, we end up with 10. So the more we distribute, the more we gain also. This is a very interesting business. In ordinary business, you have some stock and you distribute it all, then you have to somehow find some new stock. By production, by work, by begging. And Krishna automatically fills our bank account. A very good security program. Investment in securities. Preaching securities. You preach a little bit, you have some realization, and then you distribute that realization out of your compassion and sincere desire to help others progress, and you find that your progress, your own progress, is automatically guaranteed. You've already been boosted ahead. Like you go out, you go in your house and you gather all the food that's there. Say you have some fruits and you get 20 pieces of fruit, there's nothing left. You go out on the street and look for needy people. Oh, you take some fruit, you take some fruit, you take some fruit. Then you go back to your house and you go in your kitchen. Huh? What's this? There's 40 pieces of fruit. I only had 20 pieces of fruit. I took them all. I went out and gave them to everyone. And now I came back, there's 40. Where did this come from? I live here by myself. No one else lives here. How I got? This is an amazing thing. It's like Dadi Bhaksha. You know, Dahi Bhaksha, that kid gave the dakshina of a clay. You know, his mother said, you know, the child went to his mother and said, the school semester is over. Now the teacher is asking for dakshina. We all have to give some cloth or some gold or some cow or land or something. What can we give? And the mother said, well, we don't have anything. We're really poor. We don't have anything. And the boy was crying. So what can I do? And if I don't give something to the teacher, then I can't go on and be embarrassing. Just that. So anyway, maybe God can help you. Go out in the forest and cry. So the kid went out, the little kid, 5-year-old kid, went out in the forest and he was crying. Oh God, God help me, I need something. So this little coward boy came and he had a little kumbha, clay pot of yogurt. He said, you can give this to your teacher. This is nice. So the boy was happy, he came home and he said, Mommy, I cried for God and the little boy gave me this pot of yogurt. So I'll give this to the teacher. And then the mother said, yes, it's not much, but it's something. So the day all the students came to give their gifts to the teacher, the dakshina for completing their education, and some gave gold and silk wrappers and gold coins and many exotic, costly things. And this boy came and he said, teacher, I have this mudka, or this clay, cooler of 1 kilo, 1/2 liter. Dahi. Or dakshin, dahishin, dakshin. And the teacher took it from him and said, what is this? I've been teaching you for a year every day. He threw it on the ground, the clay pot. And he threw the clay pot on the ground and hit the ground. And then yogurt went on the floor, spilled on the floor, but the pot didn't break. He said, what is this? It's a very strange mudka, and it's a mudka, it's a clay pot, mudka kumbha, whatever you say, clay pot, miti kumbha, clay pot, because they also have brass kumbha, so it's a miti kumbha, brass, it was a clay pot, regular clay. What is this house? It didn't break. And he bent down, he picked it up, looked inside, and it was yogurt. Yogurt was still there. It was full of yogurt. What is this? This is crazy. What's going on? He threw it on the floor, and then the yogurt spilled out. And again, the clay pot didn't break. And then he picked it up again. And again, it was full of yogurt. And he said to the kid, he said, what? This is extraordinary. Akshay Patra. Like Draupadi had this Akshay Patra, this pot that could always, as long as there was some food in it, she could keep feeding and feeding unlimited guests and atitis. So the teacher was somewhat amazed and curious, what is this? How you got this? So the child said, oh, we had nothing. I went to the forest, some boy came, little boy. And then the teacher said, what did this boy look like? Oh, he was a very cute boy. He had long, wavy, curly hair. He's wearing like yellow dhoti and he had like yellow chadar. And had one flute in his hand. He had a flute, bansuri. Other hand, he had this clay pot. And he's very nice, a beautiful voice, very sweet voice, and so friendly. I felt like when I met him that I knew him all my life. He's so friendly and charming and sweet. And then he gave me this pot. He said, oh, don't cry. My mother heard you crying. She sent me here with this clay pot of yogurt for you to give to your teacher. So the teacher said, I think this pot is some Akshay Patra, that you are as fortunate as Mother Draupadi. So you must have some connection with Krishna. I think you just had darshan of Krishna this morning in the forest. So this way, the devotee, he distributes whatever he collects and he turns around and it's all full again. The yogurt is all distributed and he turns around and it's full. And the more you distribute, as long as there's no strings attached to your distribution. If there's strings attached to your distribution, then you may not increase your stocks by distributing, but you'll increase your strings. Because some people distribute with a profit motive. They want distinction, they want low pujam pratishtha. They initiate lots of disciples to become famous or become wealthy or to become support their ego or whatever. Or they have some personal motivation for what they do. But if one is a transparent emissary of truth, simply carrying out the work of the Lord as enjoined by the Guru, and he's clear in his conscience and what his motivation is, then he really increases his Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he had us all out there to whatever extent we could preach. Generally it meant distributing books, because Prabhupada is such a prolific writer, such a wonderful, powerful, important books. So that was his mission, to distribute knowledge in the form of books primarily, and secondarily lectures and letters. But books are the mainstream of ISKCON. Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, that's the backbone of ISKCON. So there's will, there's a way. There's a way to find that spot, the soft spot in everybody's heart. So the preacher gets that ability. So Prabhupada, that was his answer. That, I mean, nowadays, because there's so much exposure to all kinds of different groups and viewpoints, and there's lots of Bhajanandis preaching that everyone should be Bhajanandi, which is funny, because if you're Bhajanandi, you're not supposed to preach. But they're preaching, just do bhajan, and forget about preaching, this is for neophytes, and spend your life doing bhajan. Prabhupada didn't advocate that. He saw that generally people would spend their life in the name of bhajan, they would just sleep and engage in illicit activities. Generally, idle mind is the devil's workshop. Especially when we're young, maybe when we're older and established and more peaceful and tolerant and cool-headed, an advanced and spiritual realization, we can sit down and do some bhajan and have the adhikar to enter deeply into these aspects of bhakti, higher aspects of bhakti, higher stages of bhakti, at least for the beginners. And Prabhupada says that one purport, which I quote in Appreciating Vrindavan. There's a section called the Summit of Bhajan. And Prabhupada says, after one has spent a lifetime of preaching Krishna consciousness and received the authorization of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he can go to a secluded place and sit down and engage in Nirjan Bhajan. Prabhupada actually says that.